Our next speaker is someone who has spent his valuable time as a part of the committee to organize and produce this event. So it's a special honor that he has also taken time to talk with all of us today. Everyone, please welcome author, attorney, journalist, and progressive Christian, Mr. Rich Prosser.
Thank you, Peter. And I want to thank the Institute for Religious Tolerance, Peace, and Justice for the honor of speaking, especially now in this troubled time. I want to point out that religion is politics. The role of religion in the modern world was to govern, to reflect the will of the gods, often personified in kings and emperors. Religion appeals to an authority greater than the state. In the modern world, that authority is the voice of the people. The battle against authoritarianism is the central struggle of humankind. From the ancient world to recent protest movements, the right to govern ourselves is at the center of humanity's quest for freedom, justice, and equality. Ideology, like theology, can be used to control and manipulate people. We have true believers in ideology and cults of personality. Cults are not limited to religion. There are self-help, business, and political cults too. Many worship their political leaders and believe everything they say. They are willing to believe obviously false things and are easily influenced by political propaganda. We are, in fact, all under the influence of propaganda. French philosopher Jacques Ellul wrote that propaganda gives us assurances equivalent to those formerly given us by religion. It offers us a simple and clear, albeit false, explanation of the world. We actually need propaganda to help make the chaotic world intelligible to us. We are surrounded by propaganda and cannot help but be influenced by it. Propaganda can be defined as the systematic dissemination of information designed to influence people's opinions, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. Advertising, political messaging, and some media, news, and entertainment are all forms of propaganda. Those shooting or running over protesters are under the influence of propaganda. Those who vandalize and burn public buildings or hurl rocks and water bottles at police think they are fighting fascism. They don't believe they are hijacking the movement and giving the opposition ammunition to use against us. We are true believers in political dogma. To be woke is not to believe in certain things. It's to be aware of what's going on, how we are being manipulated, and when we are uninformed or mistaken. Ideology is the theology of politics. Politics, like religion, can be used to divide us. Religion, like politics, is about building community and learning to live with one another. Or not. Thank you.
And thank you to Mr. Prosser for those thoughtful words on the intersection between theology and politics.
Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
This is Lynn, Mystic Healer, Spiritual Emergency Training, coming out of bbsradio.com, Station 1. In a few minutes, Rich Proceder will come on. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he's also has Bible studies for progressives, and he also has some really important information about propaganda and how it's being used by the plutocracy or the elite, corporatocracy, elite to cabal even, so to speak, to keep the old systems in place. So, and then also, too, special guest today is Frank M. Piekarski, and he has an extensive background and experience with reforestation manager, burl table maker, a gem cutter, guitar player, and writer of songs from God. He calls them God songs. Frank raised two daughters and 12 of their friends. As long as they went to school and got good grades, they could come and stay at his house. And he was a PTSD counselor, a woodshop teacher, hydroponic engineer, and green medicine seizure specialist with cannabis. Thank you so much. So welcome, Frank, and then welcome, Rich.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, that was Frank. And then, Rich, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, right on.
Okay.
So, hello. What's new? What's going on with you,
well,
Rich? What's happening?
Well, the thing I was interested in, wanted to ask Frank about Portland and give us an update about what's going on down there.
Well, you know, it's really devastating. I mean, there's so many things that have happened, and people are just all displaced. There's the convention center downtown Portland is where a lot of people are at from Clackamas now. The fires have gone all the way almost to Oregon City. You know, I got a call from my kids even. They were afraid that they were going to have to pack up and leave, and they're clearing northeast Portland. So that's subsided now. It's calmed down a little bit. The firefighters had to have a break. They couldn't even breathe. It was so bad. The smoke in Hillsborough is so bad you can't even see. People have to stay inside. Even clear up on top of Dixie Mountain, Pumpkin Ridge, it's just so bad they've never even seen it that bad. But hopefully on Monday, we're going to be getting some onshore flow from the coast here, and it'll scour out some of it. But then it's going to go to eastern Oregon and those areas that are really hit bad too. I mean, the things that now after the fires we have seen here, we might realize how important it is to have strip farms between these forests. I mean, nobody likes to see clear cuts, but let's face it, folks. You know, I've been cutting wood for years. And as I cut these logs, their water weight is so less than it was. I mean, they're about the third of the weight that they should be now. All of our forests are overpacked with trees because of the greedy forest industry. But now that hemp is coming into play for paper and all kinds of stuff, we can plant less trees and not so close together, have these forest tracts separated by actual growing areas of food. We don't need the food in the Midwest. We don't need Monsanto and Bayer running our food. That's basically what we're seeing up here.
Horrible side effects
from all those drugs. But back to the fires. There's people in Lincoln City on the coast. There's been no power for 3 days. They have very little food. They have no power, like I say, and just trying to sheltered together with friends that they know. You know, it's a pretty tight-knit community down there, and I thank everybody for taking everybody else in down there and helping each other. Very important that we all tie together and help our neighbors, even if we have separate political beliefs. This is all of us together, not Trumpers or Bidens or whatever it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree on that. Yeah.
We're having some fires out here, the Bobcat fire had blew up a couple of days ago and made the skies all orange. But I'm also wondering, Frank, how about the protests? Are they still going on? Are you still witnessing that?
Actually, they've wound down a bit in the last few days due to the smoke and everything. And fires, I mean, you know, I can't imagine somebody setting a fire when there's fire all over the place anyway. It's ridiculous. You know, we need to step up and stop these violent protests. And sure, they have plenty to bitch about, you know, that's honest. And, you know, we must evolve. You know, we need to evolve and rise above all this military industrial complex.
Right. So the protests have been dying down because of the smoke. What do you think about that? I mean, this defund the police is a piece of propaganda. It's called a glittering generality. So, and a glittering generality is a short phrase that evokes an emotional response. Make America great again. The soul of this nation. There's all what we call glittering generalities. And I'm wondering if they could have chose a different one. I think we talked about this last time. And what was the purpose of choosing this one? So they could have said, I think we talked about that last time, but as far as the violence and the protests, you know, those people in the streets, they think they're fighting fascism. You know, they don't think that they're helping the other side and giving them ammunition to use against us. They don't care that they're being shown on Fox News and right-wing media. They're being used to rally Trump's base. And so this is the power of propaganda. I mean, the people who are also shooting protesters are running them over with cars. They're all under the influence of propaganda. And so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we're just puppets for the propaganda machine. And you can see how people get sick and tired of being labeled and put into their neighborhoods. And the whole thing needs to come down that we're all basic, have the same needs. We're, you know, we're all human beings. I mean, color is not anything that should separate anybody, as far as I feel.
What do you think
about it? Protests go on, and they will, until the sad thing about it is, you know, there's some cops that are bad, and the good cops do all this work, and they are so stressed out. Their families are stressed out. I mean, they have to worry about getting shot, or now COVID, or one thing after another, and then their stuff's thrown at them and stuff. You know, you got a few bad cops and a few macho people that join the force so they can be brutalizing on others. It makes it worse for the whole picture. And there are so many good officers out there and so many people and nurses and doctors and people that really care. I mean, those are the people that we have to resonate with, all of us, and put this fired up rhetoric away and unite as people and evolve as we really should be. This right against the left is just all about, I believe, the corporatocracies, the rich pitting us against each other, and then they're just sitting back in their mansions laughing at, oh, well, did you see what they did over here? Ha, ha, ha.
Now I can buy all their property and take it all.
Yeah, so, you know, they get us down, and then, yeah, let's buy up this area over here. They're all depressed.
Right, and
so what do you think? Go ahead.
Well, they set us against each other in a way that, and they do it from both sides. So, like, for instance, Antifa's getting its own propaganda. Trump's base is getting its own propaganda, white supremacists, but also things like neoliberal versus progressive, or my pet peeve is Christian nationalists versus Christian-hating socialists. So they spread this propaganda on both sides. It's just designed to cause us to yell at each other and to get into conflict so that we anti-fascists and anti-racists can be calling evangelicals Christian Nazis, and all these Trump supporters can call evangelicals Christian-hating socialists. But it's all set up. Progressives and neoliberals, on the right, they attack liberals and they demonize liberals. And then on the left, they demonize neoliberals. So they're taking a two-pronged attack on liberal democracy, on Democratic candidates. And we see this in a lot of the discussions that all this, suddenly this terrible thing with George Floyd happens, and lo and behold, rather than talking about the problem with police violence, we get all these socialist groups coming in and starting to tell us that this is about neoliberalism and neoliberal policies, and we need a revolution to, and that's what these people are thinking. They're thinking they need to overthrow the government. They're fighting against the forces, and they're burning the symbols of oppression and federal government buildings. But those are our buildings. You know, it pisses me off because I work in a federal building, or used to before COVID. I would go to hearings for Social Security, and government workers are great. Federal employees are great, and they work real hard. And so why are you burning down our buildings? Why are you burning down our federal buildings unless you already think that the federal government is the biggest problem if you're an anarchist? And so, I mean, we're in a real mess in that, in this area. And their design, and what we have to do is think about, what does the propagandist want me to do? How does he want me to behave? What's the inevitable result of this ideology? If we're right. going to... Like, defund the police. You had to know what was going to happen. You had to know you were going to create opposition. They do this knowingly, and like you said, Frank, they're up there laughing at how they're manipulating and controlling everybody. But of course, there's a competition for that control, and so they're battling one another. But essentially, the left gets fed a bunch of propaganda and goes crazy, and then the right gets fed a bunch of propaganda and goes crazy. So especially on the far ends. I gave a speech just last weekend in Hollywood. It was a Black Lives Matter plus a Refuse Fascism group. And when I gave my speech, I could look out at all the Black Lives Matter. They weren't applauding. They weren't doing anything. Why? Because I'm a white man. And like, they have this song, sit down, man. They're like, Frank Korzeski, sit down, man. Rich Persier, sit down, man. As if I shouldn't be listened to. I shouldn't be up there talking. But of course, I was telling them basically that this issue is not as much about race as you think it is. Because you think it's about race and how the American country, this is, again, how people get siloed into their own agenda. The socialists, they see everything through the socialist lens. So the moment that something happens, they've got to tie it to socialism. Anti-racist, they see everything through the anti-racist lens. So they don't consider that this is a global phenomenon of nationalism, and that nationalism is taking over the right. And it's not Christian nationalists, it's the nationalist right wing, and Christians happen to be in that group. And it's not coming from Christianity. This is a new study that I read about, that these people who are labeled Christian nationalists by the left are really not religious people. None of this is coming from the Bible. It doesn't come from the theology. It's coming from Donald Trump and then the right-wing media. And so that's... So they want us to dive into our own history of racial prejudice, and which is okay to do, but it's not what really has led to this moment. There's a combination of factors that have led to this moment, including global forces and our failure to support democracy in the world. I mean, the moment we stop as a country supporting democracy in other countries, we don't want regime change, but we can't pretend that democracy doesn't need support. And we certainly can't go undermining democracy and expect our democracy to survive in the end. So if we need to find a way to support liberal democracy in the world, or we're going to be back in this situation again, and Vladimir Putin's laughing, interfering with our election, trying to hack Joe Biden's campaign, trying to come up with that October surprise that's going to turn the election towards Trump. And the problem is some of these people in the streets are right about is that if Trump refuses to leave office, then we're going to need to get out into the streets. Everybody's going to need to get out into the streets and demand that he leave if we can win the election. And we need to also protect the election. We've got a lot of groups working to make sure that they don't discount ballots, that they count the ballots. And we need election workers, poll workers, because the poll workers were mostly older people. If you went into the polling place, you saw a lot of volunteer older people. They're not going to be able to do it this time. So we need young people to step up and work in polling places. And that may be a way to organize so that we get some young liberal people in there making sure that this is handled properly. But we don't know what's going to happen if Trump refuses to leave office. I'm not sure if the military is going to back him, but problem is, if he does win the election, then we have no way of removing him. And that's where the people in the streets right now, the extremists, are wrong. We're not overthrowing this government. There's no way that these protests, we had a bunch of protests in the street after George Floyd's murder, and we didn't overthrow the government. We're not going to overthrow the government. So, and that's another way of pitting us against each other. In other words, the idea that nonviolence doesn't work anymore. That's disinformation. It caused Andy Chan, who was the leader of the protest movement in Hong Kong, to take more violent tactics. And then after that, you saw the movement decline. And now I think he's been arrested and is going to be extradited under the new law that they went out to oppose to China. So this, and that disinformation, you forget, nonviolence is a reaction to the failure and futility of violence in the first place. The reason we're resorting to nonviolence is because violence doesn't get us anywhere, only exacerbates the problem and actually puts us in a situation that the other side wants. So if we want to resort to violence, then you're going to end up with right-wing extremists coming with guns.
Report yourself.
So, yeah. So a lot of this stuff is, we're in a deep doo-doo. But if we can get out of this and win this election and get somebody else in power, we can begin the process of working to make shoring up our democracies and demanding, and we haven't done this. We need to demand that our government not support wars against, not support dictators and not support wars against people's own people. I mean, in Yemen, Saudi Arabia, we're funding that war, bombing and killing people. And it's all to support anti-democracy forces. That's why Saudi Arabia went into Yemen, not because of the Houthis or whatever. Well, it's not Houthis. That's a different part of the world. But they went in there because they saw a protest movement overthrow a dictator. And that's why they went into Yemen. That's why they went in, because they do not want democracy. The monarchs, the Saudi Arabian princes, they don't want democracy. China doesn't want democracy. Vladimir Putin doesn't want democracy. And when they saw what happened in the Arab Spring, and they adopted the approach of Assad to destroy your own country if you have to, slaughter your own people and destroy your own country if you have to hold on to power. But there's a drawback to that. And the drawback is, what type of country are you left with afterwards? So in the end, they're trying to find other ways that don't cause them to have to destroy their own countries. And now Syria wants the West to rebuild their country when it was Assad who was the one who purposely went out and destroyed it. And that's the cost of that approach. And we shouldn't relieve them or enable them by helping them in that situation. Although we need to help the people, we need to negotiate a way to do that. But
Did you happen to catch the online program presentation by the People's Party.org? Did you get to see that?
No, I didn't. I know the People's
Party. They're really good. Pardon me?
I know of the People's Party, and their approach, I think, is to support the Democratic nominee. I'm pretty sure. But sometimes they get out and they want to do their independent thing. So
Well, it seemed like there were a lot of actual libertarians, Greens, and Marianne Williamson, spiritual evolutionaries. Mm-hmm. And actually, there was just a lot of spiritual leaders coming forward, like the interfaith movement. You have to check it out. I'm sure they have videos everywhere. YouTube might be still up of peoplesparty.org, because what we have to do, what we're getting, is the propaganda has to be focused in a way to let people see and know the destruction of warring, and now we can build the understanding that all red, yellow, black, and white, they all have the same basic needs. Basic needs are same, red, yellow, black, and white. And that we have, the next thing is that we all have similar basic emotions. Jesus said many would be doing his work in greater things right now. That's us trying to bring in divine government.
Yeah, to me, one of the things you brought up was the We the People Party. And I'm sure it's a good thing. I know some people that are involved in it. Yet at the same time, this brings me to think about third party propaganda. And first of all, what propaganda really is, it's just advertising or political messaging. When people talk about a narrative, that's propaganda. And so it comes from everywhere, and we're surrounded by it all the time. And it can be good or bad. It's not always necessarily evil, like a anti-smoking campaign would be a good form of propaganda. But there's this third-party propaganda. What I mean by that is that it serves the interest of the third party. And this propaganda, and we've heard it before, and so this is a good example, both the parties are the same. There's no difference. Don't throw away your vote. Vote for who you really believe in. Don't vote for a candidate and hold your nose and vote. As if this party, the Democratic Party, were some unified individual with its own individual ideology and philosophy, rather than what it really is, which is accumulation of people of different points of view coming together, trying to get things done and finding compromise and supporting certain policies. And basically, the political parties serve two functions: to take and hold on to power. That's basically what a political party does. So we've seen, for instance, the Republicans totally change with Trump. Before, we've seen them change a number of times. They went from being fiscally conservative to now being the most fiscally irresponsible party, giving huge tax cuts to the rich while the rest of us get very, very little. We still have homeless in the streets. We need to get health care for everybody. But the only policy they have is more and more tax cuts for themselves, for the rich. And so all the party does is divide up the electorate, and they're trying to divide up the electorate in a way where they have a shot of winning. And that's why we end up with only two candidates and two parties that are successful. So, but what the third party wants to do is grow itself, and the only way it can grow itself is by peeling members away from the major liberal party. And so they come up with this disinformation. Again, no, the parties are not, Republicans and Democrats are not the same. Take a look at their platform. Take a look at their candidates. They're not spending billions of dollars fighting each other because they're the same. Now, they say, well, it's neoliberal policies, as if policies were ideological. But they're really just trying to get what done and win elections. And, for example, if Sanders were elected, we might have a lot of trouble with the Christian nationalism propaganda and the Christian gaining socialist and all of that. And I think Biden gave us the best chance of winning because he focused not on ideology and not on policies, but on defeating Donald Trump, a threat to this nation. So The third party
I think
wants...
it's the issues myself. I really have to debate that one because, to me, people, you want to get out and you want them to get to vote and you want them to get excited about the possibilities. And right now, they're pushing so much fear. You know, I've heard so much propaganda from the hierarchy and the Trump admin. It's just frightening about how much hatred they have and all these horrible things about left. And I'm like, right now? You know, how can you...
I mean, you hear another thing that's made up each day about each side.
Yeah.
And, you know, Putin and the other ones are just laughing their asses off because they've separated America at the very heart of our soul, of our democracy. They've separated us and pitted us against each other so easily. It's really kind of sickening.
And that's their intentions, to divide us, even just to cause disarray or confusion. You know, if they can just get us fighting against each other, then they can build up their base and get people to the polls for themselves. And so his intention is that they're going to try and overthrow democracy. If Trump is able to hold on to power, he's going to take over every government agency, the military.
Yeah, but you have to realize it's not Trump. It's the corporatocracies that are running the penal industrial complex, which are drug wars, which is our federal government, which is the military industrial, biochemical, nuclear, technological insanity, you know, that we're allowing that spending. The churches are allowing all this insanity to continue to spend money in those directions, okay?
Churches don't want to get involved. I mean, they want to keep their base, so they get their tithing every month or a week or whatever it is. They don't really want to get involved, but everybody needs to get involved. This is our country. This is our freedom. How many people died for our freedom? I mean, people have no idea the suffering that people had to go through, World War II and the Depression, so we can all be comfortable with our little devices in our little homes.
We just have like 5 more minutes, so here you go.
I want to tell you one more thing about, I help out people on the streets and stuff, and I talk to them when I do. And, you know, there is this young man, you know, he's early, maybe 28, 32, homeless. He says, man, all I want to do is have a job and work and be proud of myself. You know, they've knocked me down so far. And now what we have, as I'm not in Portland right now, I'm back down on the coast, but as I came down I-5, I saw all these cars just full, coming up, I mean, a constant flow coming up from California. These people with everything they own crammed in their cars. I mean, you see them on the coast highways. You see them looking around. They don't know where they're going. They're bewildered. They've lost everything. Have compassion for these people. Reach out and help somebody. I mean, this is time where we've got to reach in and find the godliness in each one of us and help each other. Because it's not going to get any better with false rhetoric about the right and the left. I mean, that's what they want us to be thinking about. That's what they want us to be talking about. And really, people, we need to evolve.
You know, with climate change and people, this is a wake-up call for people. And I don't know if it's too late to wake up or if people will actually wake up. We're going to need to change our priorities. We need to lift up the lowly, send the rich away empty, and start to run a government that cares for its people and takes care of one another rather than one that's about power and control and domination and money. So we're going to need to
change.
Amen.
Yeah, change them. So we've got
Go ahead. We're getting towards the end there. Give all that contact again and that site maybe one more time for late tuning.
So my name is Rich Procida, podcast Bible Study for Progressives. I write for LAProgressive.com.
Anyway, love you all very, very much. Thank you so much. And Frank, want to say?
I thank everybody for listening today. And let's have a special moment here to pray for all those that have lost their lives in these fires across the West Coast. And it's just really, really devastating. And they don't really have a handle how many people have been lost so far. But God bless all their souls and all their families. family members, and let's try to bond together and be united and not separated by rhetoric in our various parties.
Love you all. Thank you so much again. Have more peace and love in your heart every day. Thanks. Bye now.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.